Gum. I'm Joe with Mission Street. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from a block away from Powell Street, BART station in downtown San Francisco, left coast. Today is Thursday, the 21st of January, 2016. On this date, in 1793, King Louis XVI of France is beheaded. 1919, meeting of the first Dáil Éireann, or Parliament of Ireland, in the Mansion House, Dublin. Sinn Féin adopts Ireland's first constitution. 1924, Vladimir Lenin dies at the tender age of 54. Okay, the guy had serious medical issues, but I still think Stalin helped things along. 1950, Alger Hiss convicted of perjury. 1954, the first nuclear-powered submarine, the USS Nautilus, is launched at Groton, Connecticut. 1977, President Carter pardons U.S. draft dodgers. 2009, Toyota officially passes GM as the world's biggest car maker. Birthdays are Green Mountain Boy, Ethan Allen, Nutcase, Grigori Rasputin, DJ Wolfman Jack, singer Placido Domingo, singer Mac Davis, singer Richie Havens, Attorney General Eric Holder, artist Jeff Koons, and actress Gina Davis. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast is written by Ari Swieka. Thanks for the shout-out from Edward, who noted I did not, in fact, play Station to Station by David Bowie. For whatever reason, I couldn't get it to play in the final cut of the podcast, so I played I'm Afraid of Americans instead. Sorry about that, but everybody listen to Station to Station if you have the chance. By the way, Edwards has great taste in music and a show that is really worth listening to, interviewing different Georgians, playing tunes, and just generally doing interesting stuff related to Georgia. It's the only other Georgia-related podcast I know about. I encourage you to check it all out. It is at partlyfree.eu. That's partly. Free, all written together, .eu. If you want to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tobealpod.com or send us an email at tobealpod@gmail.com. Following up on Abkhaz-Turkish relations, as a reminder, earlier in the month, the Abkhaz Prime Minister Artur Mekbabia ordered ministries to compile a list of restrictions for economic trade ties with Turkey for the 20th of January as part of Suhumi's move to join Russia's sanctions against Ankara. Suhumi already banned hiring Turkish companies or other entities controlled by Turkish citizens for implementing infrastructure projects carried out in Abkhazia with Russian aid funds. Then this week it appeared that Suhumi would drop plans to bar Turkish fishing vessels from doing business with Abkhaz companies. Abkhaz news agency Opsni Press quoted the head of the State Committee on Ecology, Saveli Chitanava, who confirmed that Abkhaz fish plants would continue to hire Turkish fishing vessels to fish anchovy. He said that initially they intended to replace the Turkish vessels with Russian fishing vessels, but after some negotiations, the plan was dropped because Russian fleet would only be able to catch about 500 to 600 tons of anchovies per day, while fish processing facilities in Abkhazia have the capacity to process 3,000 tons a day. So he explained that saying no to Turkish fishing vessels would have meant ruining the fishing sector in Abkhazia. But Russia's fishing vessels will also be involved in fishing and catching anchovy along the Abkhaz Black Sea coast. Then, on the 19th of January, the Abkhaz government published a list of sanctions against Turkey, which includes a ban on importing fish products, fruits, and vegetables starting from the 1st of March. The sanctions came by decree from the Abkhaz prime minister. It was actually made on the 15th of January, but only made public on the 19th. It temporarily bans registration and suspends the activities of non-commercial organizations and entities operating in Abkhazia, which are founded or managed by Turkish citizens. Abkhazia's justice ministry was also instructed to draft bills within 2 months, setting the legislative basis for applying these measures. The banned list does not include building materials, fuel, and textiles, which reportedly make up most of Abkhazia's imports from Turkey. Keep in mind, the Kremlin, although recognizing Abkhazia as an independent state, doesn't want it acting like one, and Turkey is their main competitor. So ethnic Abkhaz very much want to build strong relations with Turkey, worrying about Russian imperialism, and there's a little bit of discussion about that. Following up on previous stories, on the 16th of January, there was another No to Gazprom concert protest rally outside the government building in Tbilisi against government talks with Russian energy giant Gazprom. Georgian bands and musicians performed. The protest was organized by the Defend Liberty campaign, which has made of a dozen civil society organizations, think tanks, and media outlets, including Tabula and GFSIS, or, as it should be known, the Rondelli Institute. They say the goal of the campaign is to counter Russia's aggressive propaganda in Georgia against the West. At the protest, a Tbilisi State University professor told protesters that they are against the collaborationist government and that Gazprom's gas is a political weapon of the Kremlin, which it surely is. A recurring criticism from the opposition is that the energy talks have been secret and the details secret. However, U.S. Ambassador to Georgia Ian Kelly commented that the Georgian government has been very open with them, at least about energy policy and the talks with Gazprom. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze met with the chief executive of Gazprom's export arm, Elena Burmistrova, in Vienna on the 20th of January. As a reminder, the energy ministry says they've been holding talks with Gazprom on the terms of transiting gas to Armenia via Georgia. Transit fee Gazprom has been paying Georgia is 10% of the gas that goes to Armenia. They now want to pay cash instead. They've also been discussing the possibility of purchasing additional gas from Gazprom because, according to the energy ministry, Georgia's commercial sector has significantly increased its gas consumption. And at the moment, at least, Azerbaijan's state energy company Sokar cannot supply the additional gas. In an interview with Rusavioti before the meeting with Gazprom, Kaladze said it would possibly be the final round of negotiations with Gazprom and they would likely sign a one-year contract. He said that with the negotiation, they might increase Gazprom's supply up to 20% of Georgian consumption. Foreign visits. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili is in Davos, Switzerland this week for the World Economic Forum, which started yesterday, the 20th of January. On the sideline of the forum, he's meeting with his Dutch and Kazakh counterparts, Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev, Switzerland's President, Economic Affairs Minister, and U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, Victoria Nuland. A whole lot happening for Georgia Davos. BP announced that it will invest $150 million in Georgia to modernize certain sections of the Baku-Supsa pipeline, which is the little one that ends at the Black Sea, not the big one that ends in Turkey. And it will improve ecological standards. Indian holding firm Tata Sons announced plans to expand its investments in Georgia in the hospitality industry, although they have not yet been to Georgia, but say they will come soon. U.S. investment agency Washington State Investment Board also is planning a working visit to Georgia to invest. Take a look at the excellent essay on Davos by Googling "The Frat Party at the End of the World," which explains why the meeting at Davos is such a bad thing for the world. In other foreign visits, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Uzubashvili was on an official visit to Riga, Latvia this week. Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri attended the opening of the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank in Beijing. He also met with the bank's president. European Parliament passed a resolution on the 21st of January today on the implementation of the Deep and Comprehensive Free Trade Agreement with Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine. Commenced Georgia's reforms in implementing the Visa Liberalization Action Plan, but it also calls on Georgia to further pursue reforms in the judicial system, that they are concerned by the use of the judicial system to fight against political opponents. They advocate for a merit-based selection of judges and to change the 3-year probation term for judges in order to ensure their independence. On the 13th of January, the prosecutor of Samegrelo region, Vakhtang Kidia, was found dead in a flat in Sabartalo in Tbilisi with stab wounds to the body and a gunshot wound to the head. He'd gone missing a few days before. The main suspect in the murder was his relative, Bidzina Kuchava, who was the head of the TV and radio company Sakartvelos Khma, or Voice of Georgia. Several hours after Kidia's body was found, Kuchava was spotted by the police driving in Tbilisi along with two other people. They pulled over the car and Kidia pulled out a gun and shot himself in the head. Kuchava was renting the flat where the body was found. They also said that he had bought the weapons for the murder. It's being investigated as premeditated murder. The Interior Ministry says they do not believe it was related to Kiria's work as a prosecutor. Two men from Hakizi Gorge were killed while fighting for the Islamic State, or Daesh, in Syria, as reported by the Information Center of Kakheti on the 18th of January. State Security Service confirmed that the two men were identified by Georgian media sources. They are aged 24 and 22 from the Hakizi villages of Birkiani and Omalo. According to the Information Center of Kakheti, one of the men left for Syria a year ago. He's previously studying law in Tel Aviv, broke it off in his third year. His mother had followed him to Syria to try and get him to come home. The other man killed also left about a year ago, stayed with people in Turkey first. He has a wife and child still in Pankisi. Following up on Azerbaijan, human rights lawyer Amal Clooney, who is married to George Clooney, offered to take the case of jailed Azerbaijani journalist Khadija Ismailova to the European Court of Human Rights. Khadija and her lawyer have accepted the protests throughout the region and Azerbaijan continued against rising prices in basic foods, such as flour and bread, unemployment, and the drop in value of the manat against the dollar. The government deployed riot police to suppress the protests using tear gas and rubber bullets. Reportedly, the finance ministry then said it would waive value-added tax on the import of wheat and the production and sale of flour and bread. The government blamed some opposition parties for organizing the administration, and two opposition leaders were arrested. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili said earlier this week that in the near future, the government will submit to Parliament a bill envisaging zero tax on reinvested profits, meaning companies will be exempt from a profit tax if that profit is reinvested. Model comes from Estonia, and Kvitikashvili said they are working on it with the IMF. Kvitikashvili first voiced this proposal in March 2015 when he was economy minister. He said at the time that it would have a negative short-term impact on state coffers, cutting tax revenues by several hundreds of millions of lari, but that it would boost economic growth in the long run. Interesting. Following up on last week's story, Tbilisi City Councilor Sakir Bulo approved Grigol Liloashvili as the new deputy mayor of Tbilisi, replacing the previous deputy mayor who resigned. Liloashvili was a chairman of the supervisory board of BI's Kartu Bank. He was also the chief executive in a BI-affiliated company involved in the Panorama Tbilisi project, which cultural heritage groups and preservationist groups and everybody else who's normal are strongly against, arguing that it's an overscale project and will destroy historic Tbilisi. Following up on last week's story, the Interior Ministry said they've identified the four people who attacked the Tabula TV journalist in the Tbilisi restaurant last week and have opened an investigation. As a reminder, the Tbilisi Opera on Rustaveli is officially opening on the 30th of January after it was closed for 5 years of maintenance. It was BI that was paying for it, but when he fell out with Misha, he stopped paying and it was locked up and ignored for a while. Then, several months ago, it resumed. The opening night performance will be Absalom da Eteri by Georgian composer Zakaria Paliashvili. It is not open to the public. It is only for invited guests from the government, the church, and the Kartu group. Some people on social media were a little annoyed by that, totally understandably. The refurbishing work, the opera was financed by Kartu group. On a positive aesthetic note, the scaffolding and wooden fence that had been blocking the opera under construction forever is now removed, so you can visit, sit in the gardens around the opera, just around the corner on Broze Street, by the way, is the dive bar, an awesome place to go have a drink afterwards. Russia held military exercises in South Ossetia last week with the participation of more than 2,000 soldiers at the Zartsemi firing range north of Simvali. Russian Defense Ministry said that about 500 units of military hardware and weapon systems were being used, including two T-72 BM tanks, BMP-2 and BMP-3 infantry fighting vehicles, and Akatsia and Gvozdika self-propelled howitzers. A group of Orthodox activists are advocating having a car in each metro designated as a prayer car where Orthodox people can pray, presumably. Priests from the church are also part of the movement. They had a protest about it this week in the metro in front of the government building and were carrying icons. EU approved spending 217 million euros on energy infrastructure studies and projects in Eurasia, including a study of the TANAP project. As a reminder, the presidents of Georgia, Turkey, and Azerbaijan launched TANAP, or Trans-Anatolian Natural Gas Pipeline Project, in March 2015. It's also informally known in Europe as the Southern Gas Corridor. The idea is to reduce Europe's dependence on Russian gas. It's expected to be completed in 2018. As a note, Iran has expressed interest in joining TANAP via the Iranian ambassador in Azerbaijan. Red Cross will host talks between Georgia and South Ossetia on missing persons. It is negotiated at the most recent Incident Prevention and Responsible Mechanism meeting, or IPRM, with its regular field meetings organized by the EUMM, the European Union Monitoring Mission. First missing persons talk will be held on the 5th of January. 11 people from Georgia were kidnapped for allegedly illegally crossing the border over the past month, which is, as you know from this podcast, the regular abduction system. Ministry of Health is continuing with the project to deinstitutionalize orphanages, which started about 3 years ago. They signed a memorandum of understanding with UNICEF to close two large orphanages and move children to a family care setting. The government approved a package of legislative changes introduced by the Justice Ministry aimed at protecting street kids. It will allow street kids to get identification documents and get access to services and education and health care, and these programs won't be dependent on their parents. European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, EBRD, is implementing a 2.2 million euro program to modernize a sewage system in Kobuleti on the Black Sea coast. Roughly half that money is a sovereign loan to the finance ministry, which would then be on lent to the Kobuleti Water Company, which is the only water supply provider in Kobuleti. The other half of that money is from the Dutch government. Money transfers from abroad declined by 25% in 2015 compared to 2014, according to figures released by the National Bank. The decline was mostly caused by a sharp drop in transfers from Russia and Greece, which are Georgia's number one and number two sources of remittances. Transfers from Russia declined by close to 40% year-on-year. There was, however, a major increase in transfers from Israel by close to 40% year-on-year. Following up on last week's story, the search for the three hunters in Lago Deji who got lost in heavy snow is ongoing. They've been missing since the end of December. It was reported last week that they were found on the other side of the border by Russian police in Dagestan, but now the Interior Ministry says those reports are false. Government administration will create a front office to monitor transparency for various decision-making processes. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili said that the business community and the larger society will be able to be involved in decision-making, though it's not specified for how long that will be. Georgia and the U.S. will hold a second edition of the joint Noble Partner military exercises. It'll be in May at the Vaziani Military Airfield, about 20 kilometers outside of Tbilisi. Defense Ministry will award 64 soldiers currently serving in the NATO Resolute Support Mission in Afghanistan. Back in December, they saved a group of seven American soldiers when there was an explosion in a village. Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli said that the U.S. command voiced special thanks to the Georgian soldiers. Following up on previous stories, Georgian Dream lawmakers have said that the introduction of the registration ban on vehicles with right side steering wheels might be delayed until the second half of 2016. It was supposed to be introduced in March, but there were big protests from owners of right-hand drive steering wheel cars who thought it meant that they couldn't drive their cars anymore. Orthodox Christians celebrated Epiphany Day on the 19th of January, marking the day of Jesus' baptism. It's a public holiday in Georgia. There were a lot of baptisms for babies. Tennis player Ekaterina Gorgodze won the Babolat Tennis Cup in Antalya, Turkey. Ministry of Education is teaming up with a Polish specialist to curb plagiarism in universities. Thank God. It's an online anti-plagiarism system at plagiat.pl, that is plagiat.pl. It's used in Poland and Romania system-wide, as well as some universities in Germany and Colombia. A Georgian thief-in-law was arrested at Tbilisi International Airport. We have no other information than that. New Georgian Wine Center is opening in February in China's Jiangxi province. It's the fifth Georgian wine center in China. The film Hostages by director Rezo Giganeishvili will be among 19 other film projects that will feature in the co-production market of the 2016 Berlin Film Festival in February. The co-production market allows producers to seek support from international cinema financiers for their projects. Hostages is about a true story from 1983 of a group of Georgian students who attempted to hijack a civilian flight and get themselves to the West. You may know of the play about the same, Jean Zebitaoba. Director Dea Kulumbegashvili, in her debut film America, has been selected for the 2016 edition in the script and pitch training by the Toronto Film Lab, which is a script writing course. Two Georgian short films will feature in the 2016 Clermont Ferrand International Short Film Festival in France in February. Films are Turquie Beziava's Wake Man, which is actually a comedy about a poor old man who attends funerals and wakes. He finds in newspaper obituaries, and Gheorghe Todrea's Lost Village, about a middle-aged couple living in an abandoned village. And two Georgian short films are competing at the Rotterdam International Film Festival later in January, Okasava Vara by Vahlan Kotitashvili and Father by David Pirskalava. German public radio had a two-hour Sunday program dedicated to Berlin-based Georgian classical pianist Duduna Mazmanishvili. Following up on last week's story on the Iraqi students in Kutaisi who were protesting because their residency permits were revoked, Education Minister Tamar Sanikidze said that the students' residency permits were revoked because they didn't comply with the legal requirements, whereas the students reported that they were told they were a security risk. Prosecutor's office has implicated a Russian man and a Ukrainian man in the murder of Georgian businessman Besik Khardziani. Khardziani was shot outside his home in Tbilisi in March 2015. He owned Khuspa, or Turtle Lake property, in Upper Vake. The two men are abroad. The prosecutor's office said they came into the country specifically to kill Khardziani. One man came in weeks before the murder and watched his movements. The other came in on a false passport. Reportedly, the local government of Bavaria has requested expanding Germany's list of safe countries in a bid to stop the number of incoming migrants and refugees. They requested to add Georgia to this list. The government approved two new projects with the Produce in Georgia program. One project is a processing plant in Tbilisi that will produce wood and iron doors. The second project will be in Samigrelo region, producing dried fruit. Within the state-run project Plant the Future, the new orchards will be planted in the Shida-Kartli region. 51 farmers have received funding for the project from the Agricultural Ministry. The project covers 70% of planting costs and 50% of the cost of an irrigation system. Three people in Georgia have died of swine flu, according to the National Center of Disease Control. About 3,000 people in Georgia have swine flu. The rate of infection is about 250 cases for every 100,000 people. It's considered an epidemic if there are 500 cases per 100,000 people. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili now has an official Twitter account. It is at Kvitikashvili GI. So far, 400 followers. Microsoft search engine Bing had an image of the David Gadeja Monastery Complex as one of its cover photos. You can now write web addresses in an internet browser using the Georgian alphabet. It was approved by the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. And weather forecasting website Meteo Blue is now available in Georgian. Parliamentary news. Parliament's on break till the 1st of February. However, it was reported that a group of five lawmakers from the National Movement are breaking off and forming a new faction called National Movement United Georgia. The meme this week is a story by Georgian Dream lawmaker Soso Cinçfiliani. It's about Georgian Dream dinner they had on the old New Year, the 14th of January. BI was at the dinner. There were two big tables. According to Judge Fliani, it was rumored that those who were at BI's table would all get onto the parliamentary list for the elections, and those who sat at Josh Liani's table would not. So, when some people heard this, they moved to BI's table and started singing and praising him. But then later, BI praised Josh Liani, and suddenly people scrambled back to sit at his table again. Stuff to read, new research by scholars Tim Blauveld, Jesse Driscoll, and Christopher Berglund on language hierarchies in Georgia. They look at how Georgian citizens, different nationalities, evaluate people when they speak different languages, Russian, English, etc. In Foreign Policy magazine, Adrian Karachinyak cautions against viewing Misha as the savior of Odessa, that Misha was presented as the person who could root out corruption. He's then been accusing oligarchs, government people, businesses of corruption, but he says that the political ambitions and loud personality are damaging Ukraine's image and irking a lot of people, including credible businesses and civil society. He assesses Misha's pluses and minuses, commends the great accomplishments in Georgia in the early years, but also the dangerous authoritarian streak. The Atlantic Council interviews Prime Minister Kvitikashvili. Ozzy, O-Z-Y, profiles Gheorghe Bachiashvili, who heads the co-investment fund, says he's a finance wunderkind. He's close to BI. Open Democracy, Dmitry Okrest writes, the system of government surveillance that the Misha government built. Latest episode of the Mavs Moneyball podcast is how Georgia nearly made Zaza Pachulia an all-star. They didn't know why he was so high in the rankings, then figured it out, apologized, and said nice things about Georgia, and everybody in Georgia was still ticked off and was writing about it in the comment section. Caucus's Art Mag talks with Georgian street art duo Sadaris Melia. The translated text is a bit rough to understand, but you can see some of the work. Design magazine Sight Unseen features Georgian sculptor Teya Georgadze. Dazed Digital looks at cutting-edge Eastern European fashion designers, which include Georgian designers George Keburia. They say he stands out among Georgian designers because he doesn't turn to traditional folk Georgian culture for inspiration. Check out the blog of Ukrainian blogger Dadiko, who's been living in Tbilisi for the past 2 years or so. In this post, she looks at where you can go for breakfast in Tbilisi, because it's actually not that common. CRC looks at Georgians' attitudes towards Shabbatoba, or forced volunteering. All the stuff to read, post in our forum. This week's dive bar number is 450,000. That is how much in lari the government gave the Orthodox Church the day after Prime Minister Kvitikashvili assumed office on the 30th of December. Information about it came out last week. The money comes from the government's emergency reserve fund, which is meant for dealing with crises like natural disasters. The money given to the church is meant to be spent on developing educational centers subordinate to the patriarch. If you're in Tbilisi, this Friday, the 22nd of January, 4 p.m., there'll be a talk at Tbilisi State University on the interaction of how EU incentives and Russian policies influence reforms in the Eastern Partnership countries. Should be interesting. Talk is by Laurie Delcourt, who's with Sciences Po in Paris, now works for the EU, moderated by Professor Oliver Reisner, who speaks great Georgian and is very well known around town. There's no RSVP, so again, it's Friday, the 22nd of January, that is tomorrow, 4 p.m. at Tbilisi State University, 31 Chavchavadze Avenue, Nvake, Room A103. Also in Tbilisi on the 22nd, 23rd of January, there's an exhibit at Gallery Nectar, N-E-C-T-A-R, on creative book designs. It's a project by the project Traveling Art Books, and you can see paper and book-based designs of local artists. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1970, recorded live in Washington, D.C., right after he played in Woodstock a few months before. This is Richie Havens, whose birthday it is today. Many don't realize was half Blackfoot Indian. This is Here Comes the Sun.